Amen. There we go. He's got things together now. Oh, praise the Lord. Proverbs 11. Did I tell you that already? Okay. Oh, boy, I got to turn this down. Man, my sound guy needs to... I'm going to fire him, I think. You might know a good sound man. Verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, for they are twins. You will not have pride without shame. Twins. They're joined at the head. They're joined at twins. They're inseparable. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, but the hope of unjust men perisheth. And the hope of unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. Amen. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Verse 11 says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for the many things that you've done already today, how you've shown yourself mighty, true, just, righteous, and all-powerful. Thank you for this church. Oh, God, how I praise you for what you're doing here in all of our hearts. Please help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. There's a tremendous promise in verse 11 given to the upright. Given to really, if you want to just boil it down, what does the word upright mean? It means righteous. It means righteous. Righteousness is blessed, and when the righteousness of the upright is blessed, the Bible tells us plainly that a whole city is exalted. I mean, God does not exalt things lightly. Can I put it that way? God does not exalt people or promote people or cities. Because, by the way, the city is the people. Amen. When God said, Jonah, I want you to go preach to Nineveh, He wasn't talking about the geographical location of Nineveh on the map. He was talking about the city, the people in that city. The blessing of the upright exalts the city. Now, obviously, not everybody in that city is going to be upright. But God uses His people when they are found in a city, and He says that I will bless my people that are upright, and through their blessings and through their lives, the entire city will be exalted.
Amen.
The entire city will be blessed.
Yep.
You remember Abraham got into a discussion with God about Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, God, perhaps there be 50 righteous in that city. Would you spare the city? And God said, I'll spare the city for 50 righteous. What did he mean? What he meant was, yeah, I'll spare the city. I'll spare everyone else around them if I can find 50 righteous. Well, Abraham was a salesman, I think. He was certainly a Jew, literally. Now, no racial slurs there at all. He was a Jew. And he was bargaining with God. He got him all the way down to 10. He said, God, if you can find 10 righteous people in Sodom, would you spare the city? Because God told him, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? And then he said, well, how about 50? How about 40? How about 30? He got them all the way down to 10. And he said, would you spare the city for 10 people, 10 righteous people? And God said, I will. I mean, 10 righteous people. There's 10 people in here. There's more than 10. But God said, for 10 people, I'll spare the city. Now, he couldn't find 10 righteous. But righteousness, upright living, is what God looks to bless. Amen. It's living right.
Amen.
I mean, really, we don't need to try to overanalyze it. It's living right. It's clean living. Like we talked about Paul this morning in our Sunday school lesson. And he said, I have lived clean with a clean conscience before God all my life. And that clean living gave him strength in a trial. Righteousness is lawful living. In other words, it's the opposite of wickedness. Look in verse 5 of our text here in Proverbs 11. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. In other words, as you read the book of Proverbs, and dear God, would you please read the book of Proverbs?
Amen.
There's 31 chapters in this book, and there's 30 to 31 chapters, except for February, every month of your life. Read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Today is the 12th. Read the 12th chapter of Proverbs today. It will help you. It will increase your wisdom. It will give you so much understanding. But what it does, it contrasts righteousness with its direct opposite. In this case, wickedness. It's the opposite of wickedness. Look in verse 8. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. So it's the opposite of wickedness. It's the opposite of evil. It's the opposite of unrighteousness. Okay? Unrighteousness is those that are unrighteous, morally distorted. Morally distorted. Have you ever been to one of those places that has those funny mirrors? I don't remember what they're called, those hall of mirrors, and the mirrors are kind of all bent and weird shapes, and you stand in front of one and you look this big, and then you stand up in front of another one and you look this big, and then you look this short, and the mirrors are there and they're reflecting something that's distorted. It's not really what you look like most of the time. And some of you say, whoa, oh, there. Yeah, I like that skinny me. I can take this one home. But it distorts the truth. It's not really what's going on. It's distorting, and unrighteousness is distorting morality and making it be what you want it to be. Unrighteousness is unjust living, where you don't care about what's fair or what's righteous. You just distort everything to be. It's also perverse living. It's living that is, the word perverse means twisted. Twisted. It's completely twisted from what the natural, what God created us to be, and who God created us to be, and how God created us to live.
Yeah.
Unrighteousness is twisted, distorted, perverse. Righteousness is the opposite of all of that. It's just, moral, and straight living. It's being right in your conduct. First of all, this is just introduction. My girls told me the other day, Daddy, I can't seem to keep up with your outlines anymore. You used to say 1 and 2 and 3, but now I'm writing down 1, 2, and 3, and you're only in the introduction. I said, sweetheart, I can't help it. This is introduction. Okay? But righteousness is living, and it's being right in your conduct.
Amen.
In other words, it's lawful living. It's living according to the law. It's not being a thief.
Amen.
It's not being a burglar. It's not being a immoral person. It's obeying the laws of the land. It's righteousness. You understand that Christians are supposed to be the most law-abiding citizens in this world. We have liberty. No, we don't have liberty to be unlawful. Are you kidding me? When the speed limit says speed limit, that's a law.
Amen.
That's picking. No, listen, if you speed when you're not supposed to, what else are you going to do?
Amen.
Okay. Now, y'all, listen, don't get all quiet. You know what I'm talking about. I'm saying that righteousness is what God blesses. And if the law has been established, then we should be right in our conduct. We should be lawful.
Amen.
Good night. I lost you on the introduction. It's being right in your cause. In other words, why are you doing what you're doing? Your cause, your motive. I mean, why are you living this life of righteousness? Why are you living according to the Bible? Because you're right in your cause. It's what's right. It's the right motive. It's the right reason. David said to his brothers and Saul and all of that other cowards of the army there, he said, that Goliath is no longer going to curse and profane my God. He looked at him and said, is there not a cause here?
Amen.
There's a reason that we need to fight this wicked enemy. There's a cause here. And David was right in his cause. He was righteous.
Amen.
In his conduct and his cause. He was righteous in his character. I could preach these three apparently and give an invitation and y'all got nervous already.
Amen.
Amen. What's character? Character, D.L. Moody said, character is who you are in the dark. Nobody else around. Nobody can see you. Nobody can hear you. Who are you then? That's your character.
Amen.
Who are you in the dark? Righteous living is living right in your conduct, in your cause, and in your character. Righteousness. Notice what God views, how God views righteousness in verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. A false balance is a lie. A false balance is an unjust balance. But a just weight is His delight. God delights in righteousness. God delights. He takes pleasure. He enjoys. He delights in righteousness. What does that verse mean? In the old days, I've always wanted to get one of these. If you find one at an antique store, please pick it up for me. But they used to have scales, okay? And on one side they would put a weight, and on the other side they would put whatever they were trying to weigh. So they would put a weight of 100 pounds, not 100 pounds, let's just use 10 pounds in our example. And then on the other side they would weigh out 10 pounds of whatever. And when that scale would balance out, then they would know this is 10 pounds because this is 10 pounds. Okay? Some of you kids have no idea what I'm talking about. All you do is stand on it and say, oh, look, I need to gain weight, lose weight. That's not the scale I'm talking about. The false balance. What happens is people, they would mess with and twist, distort, pervert the weight on one side. So instead of it being literally 10 pounds, it would be maybe 8. So when they got, they were supposed to get 10 pounds of something over here that they were buying. They measured it out and said, oh yeah, there's 10 pounds. But it was only 8. It was a lie. It was unjust. It was not right. And the Bible says that is an abomination to God. But a just weight, a weight that's right, that's honest, is His delight. God delights in righteousness. Look in verse 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. God rewards righteousness.
Right.
I mean, our verse in verse 11 says the blessing of the upright is the city, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Where do blessings come from? True blessings come from God. The blessing that God blesses, God rewards. Why? Because He delights in it. Righteousness. God views righteousness according to truth, okay? He knows the difference.
Amen.
Much is said about righteousness here in this chapter of Proverbs. And really in all the book of Proverbs, there's many times, 75 times in these 31 chapters, either the word righteous or righteousness is used. Now, I didn't go into upright and just, but I mean, it is over, well over 100 times. This book of Proverbs talks about righteousness. Righteous and righteousness. Just, honest, integrity, fair, discretion. Those things that God blesses. In this chapter, however, there are 12 times the word righteous or righteousness is used. This is the most of any chapter in the book of Proverbs that this word righteousness or righteous is used. Verse 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 18, 20, 19, 21, 23, 28, 30, and 31. I'm not going to read them all to you. But so you could call this the righteous chapter of the righteous book of Proverbs within the righteous holy Bible.
Amen.
Amen?
Yep.
So you ought to get very familiar with this chapter.
Amen. Amen.
You are saved, aren't you?
Amen.
You do want to delight, God to delight in your life, don't you?
Amen.
You would enjoy some blessings, wouldn't you? You would enjoy for Him to reward you, wouldn't you?
Come on.
You ought to be familiar with this chapter.
Amen.
Righteousness. And by the way, again, verse 11. By the blessing of the upright, by the blessing of the righteous, the city is exalted. Do you want your city to be different?
Amen.
Do you want your city to be different?
Amen.
There's a sure promise right there.
Yep.
Of how it's going to happen. Now, you could just move out of it, but that won't help your city. You could just get right and live righteous life.
Yeah.
And God says that that city will be exalted through the blessings of the upright. I like that verse. I like that promise. Listen, I'm not from Denton. I haven't lived here as long as many of you, most of you. And I understand that it's not exactly a righteous city. I know that. I've been here long enough to know. It don't take but a few hours to know that. It's not a righteous city, and there are very few righteous cities left in America. And I wonder if Abraham was begging, bargaining with God, would he find 10 people? Well, there's 10 here. There's more than 10 here. So God, listen, wants to exalt this city. God wants to do something in Denton, in our city. So why not? He promised He would. So listen, let's briefly look at a few things here about a righteous life, an upright life. Number one, quickly, verse 4. Here's number one, girls. Number one. Verse 4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Now, this is a reference to the righteousness of God obtained at salvation.
Amen.
True righteousness begins with salvation.
Amen.
True righteousness. And by the way, there's only real true righteousness. Only way to get that is through salvation. The only true righteousness that can ever be obtained in this life is the righteousness of God. Because you and me, in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. There is no true and honest to God righteousness in us. So you must be born again in order to really live a righteous. Now this is imputed righteousness. Now that's a big Bible word. But this is the righteousness that saves you.
Yep.
The word imputed means that it's been placed on your account. Imputed. It's been charged to your account. For example, you have a bank account. And you don't have any money in that bank account. Amen. And all of you are thinking, yeah, I know how that feels. So somebody else comes along with their money and makes a deposit. Glory to God, amen. Well, guess what? It's now yours.
Amen.
It didn't belong to you. You didn't buy it, but somebody else placed it on your account, gave it to you, and put it in your bank account. Well, now it's yours. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it, but somebody just gave it to you. They placed it on your account. That's imputed righteousness.
Amen.
It wasn't mine, but it is now. Whew, I like that. Romans chapter 4 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Imputed righteousness is righteousness that we earn through faith in Jesus Christ. We receive Him as our Lord and our Savior, as our Redeemer. We, by faith, then we open up our bank account and God puts in our hearts His righteousness. Whoa, that's good. That's good Bible preaching, amen. That's sound doctrine of the Word of God, and that changes your life forever. That's imputed righteousness that comes only from God. And that righteousness delivers from death.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that receiveth my word and believeth on me shall never die, has everlasting life. He has passed from condemnation. He has passed from death unto life. They shall not come into condemnation. He shall never die. Why? Because he believed on me, Jesus said. That's imputed righteousness. That's not by works.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's imputed righteousness by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That righteousness delivereth from death. Glory to God. That excites me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
There's three kinds of imputation in the Bible. Imputation. That means imputed something. Okay? Adam's sin was imputed unto all mankind. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That one man was Adam. By his sin, sin entered into the world. And because of sin, death entered into the world. And therefore death passed to all men, because all have sinned. Karina was born. She had no idea she was going to be born. She's digging in her purse for some money to give the preacher, and I just distracted her. She's digging in that purse for some money she wants to impute into my account. And I just distracted her. I embarrassed her. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I don't know where I was at. Oh, she was born into this world, and she had no idea who she was, where she was, who her parents were. But you know what? She was born a sinner. It was imputed to her. It was placed on her account when Adam sinned.
Yep.
Every single person ever born from that day forward was imputed sin from Adam. Boy, he's got a lot of angry people to talk to when they get to heaven. Well, I don't think we'll be angry in heaven, will we? Because we'll save.
Yep.
But anyway, second kind of imputation. Adam's sin is imputed unto all mankind. But then, there's the good part. Then all mankind's sin was imputed unto Jesus on the cross.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Who his own self," Jesus, referring to Jesus, "bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness." Boy, that is a blessed, blessed verse. But it breaks my heart. I can't shout too much about that. I'm glad he did it, but the memory of it breaks my heart. Don't you ever wish that there could have been another way so that Jesus would not have had to go through what he did? Has that ever crossed your mind? Maybe I don't mean to be blasphemous or heretic, but I love Jesus.
Yeah, man.
I love Jesus. And sometimes I just wish there could have been another way. But that's the way God chose. And all of my sins, all of your sins, were imputed unto Jesus on that day on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
They were placed in His account. Now that's not a good deposit. That's not an exciting deposit. That's the deposit of sin that placed Him on the cross and that made Him hang there and suffer and bleed and agonize for six ungodly, unrighteous, wicked and evil, dark, dark hours. All of my sin put on Him. But glory to God.
Amen.
He rose again.
Amen. That's right.
Glory to God, He rose again. Yeah. And now because my sins are buried, amen, Brother Amadi, we were just talking about that in discipleship tonight. Because my sins are buried, amen, I can be imputed God's righteousness now because my sins have been paid for in full, amen. Every bit of them paid in full, amen. Done. The deal is done. And now I can have God's righteousness imputed unto me through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. You remember the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan went, found that man half dead, and he poured in that wine and that oil, and he took him back to that inn, and he said, "Here, now listen, here's all the money that I have, and you take care of him, and whatever you have to spend while I'm gone, when I come back, I'll repay you." What does that mean? What he means was, whatever you have to spend while I'm gone, put it on my account.
Yeah.
It's imputed to me. Amen.
Yeah.
That's good. Y'all need to wake up, man. I tell you what, I'll make y'all stand up or something. This, I'm talking about your salvation. I'm talking about the righteousness that you only have by faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's okay to wake up and get excited about the fact that you're born again.
Yeah, man, preacher.
Now you are all excited. We're singing. What's wrong? I'm preaching good. I'm preaching Jesus here.
Amen.
Does this bore you? Because I'm not preaching, because I'm preaching doctrine?
No, sir, come on. Preach.
Boy, God's imputed righteousness. Whatever you have to spend, put it on my account.
Amen.
That's what that Good Samaritan did. That's what that man did who loved that one that was half dead more than his own self.
Yep.
Righteousness that comes through God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the only way to be delivered from death. It's the only way that you can truly live a righteous life. It's the only way that you can truly be completely, really rewarded, and you can ever delight God. Listen, you cannot even please God in your flesh, according to Romans chapter 8.
Right.
So the righteousness of God, the righteousness that God imputes unto you when you receive Jesus Christ, is the only way you can live a righteous life. Listen to these next two words. Faithfully and consistently.
Yep.
A lot of religious people trying to live righteous lives in their flesh. Failing. Falling, failing, and crumbling. The righteousness, though, that we're talking about that delights God, that is rewarded by God, is righteousness that can only come through salvation. That righteousness, and then the righteousness, number two, the righteousness that we're talking about also then, from that point on, gives you direction. Not only does it start with salvation, but it will give you direction. Oh, please listen now. Look in verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them.
Yeah.
Verse 5. The righteousness of the perfect. Now, the perfect doesn't mean without sin. What it means is that you are in Christ's eyes. Remember, you're perfect. I mean, in God's eyes, you're perfect because you're in Christ.
Amen.
So the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them. Excuse me, verse 5. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way.
Amen.
After you get saved and God's righteousness is imputed unto you, you then forever will have the Holy Spirit in you imparting, now listen, imparting His righteousness on a daily basis. It's a difference, the imputation and then imparting unto you the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, this righteousness is practical righteousness. This righteousness is what you need to put into practice in your day-to-day life. Okay? God's righteousness, you could not do anything about except receive it, and He gave it to you, put it on your account. But this practical righteousness now, this is imparted unto you in many different ways, but primarily through the Holy Spirit that lives in your heart after salvation. And then the first part of this practical righteousness we're going to look at is the righteousness that gives you direction. The imputed righteousness saves you. This imparted righteousness steers you. Steers you.
Amen.
This is where your decision making comes into play. This is where we're talking about you making righteous decisions. Guiding you. Directing your way. Verse 3 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. Now, let's look at those words. Integrity, first of all, that just means honesty. There is nothing dishonest about the Holy Spirit in you.
Amen.
There is nothing deceitful about the Holy Spirit in you. There is nothing short of total integrity when it comes to the Spirit of God in you. That integrity that's in you, that integrity of the upright will guide you. The upright means, what it means to be upright, let me give you this a brief definition. It means to be in agreement with what is right. Look in verse 20. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are His, there it is again, delight.
Amen.
Froward again means to be twisted, distorted, crooked, and perverse. But an upright person is completely opposite from that. An upright person is honest and has integrity, and their integrity guides them. A rancher ask a veterinarian for some free advice. He said, Doc, I've got a horse that walks normally sometimes, but other times, just out of the blue, he'll start limping. What do I do? And this veterinarian said, well, the next time he walks normally, sell him. See, we laugh, but listen. That's not upright. That's not integrity. That's not honesty. But that's the way most Christians, that's the way most people live their lives.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's right.
Let me see if I can sneak one past him.
Yep.
Let me see if I can maybe pull some wool over his eyes. Some smoke screens. So I can get away with them. Well, because after all, I don't want to have to take a loss on this horse. I mean, after all, everybody else is doing it. The integrity of the upright guides them. The honesty of the person who is agreeing with what is right. The honesty of the person who is in accord with what is right. listen, the Bible says that that early church in Jerusalem, they were all with one accord in the house of God. And they were all continuing in the apostles' doctrine, in prayer, in breaking of bread, and fellowship. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What does that mean? That means they were all united in one accord with what God had said was right and sound doctrine. They agreed. They were together. They decided we're going to live an upright integrity life. Integrity is life. And that guided them. That guided them. In other words, if I have a decision to make, and I need to make a decision, and I want to be upright, then I'm going to have to be honest.
Amen.
When you have decisions to make every day, don't you? Every day. Look at verse 23. The desire of the righteous is only good. Well, praise God for that. You know why? Because God gives you new desires. Amen. I'm trying to help you see that these things guide you. God's righteousness changes your desires. And when He gives you a desire, it's only good. God, it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure, His delight. He's working in you to make you want to do, not just do, but will, desire, and then do.
That's good.
You know why? Because you're only going to do what you want to do.
That's right. Amen.
It's been said hundreds of times, and I can't. It's true. People do what they want to do. In the end, when it boils down to, I got to make a decision. You're usually going to do what you want to do. But and God knows that. That's why He put His righteousness in us, imputed unto us, and then He tries to impart it to us every day, every day, every day, through His Holy Spirit, so that we will desire righteousness. We will desire to do right. And those desires are only good. There's nothing bad. There's nothing unethical. There's nothing dishonest about the righteousness of God in us. So it guides us. It gives us direction. It's our steering wheel.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
Righteousness also, number three, gives you protection. This is all a steady progression, as you can tell. The righteousness God imputes unto us starts it all with salvation. And then that righteousness is there to guide us, to steer us, give us direction. And then as we let that righteousness steer us and guide us, it will give us protection.
Amen.
Okay, this is where our safety comes involved. We had salvation, then steering. Now we're talking about safety. Making righteous decisions protects you, now don't miss this, from painful consequences. During his time as a rancher, Teddy Roosevelt and one of his cowpunchers were out working the ranch, and they lassoed this maverick steer. Just a wild steer. They lit a fire, and they got the branding irons ready in the fire. But Teddy, Mr. Roosevelt, realized that the part of the range, the part of the land that they were on, was actually actually belonged to his neighbor. And so according to the cattleman's rule, if you find a steer on your neighbor's land or wherever you find that steer, it belongs to whoever owns that part of the land. Well, there was nobody else around. Just him and this cowboy. His cowboy got the brand ready and began to apply the brand. And Roosevelt said, wait a minute. This is a true story. That's supposed to be our neighbor's brand. And the cowboy looked at him and said, oh, that's all right, boss. That's okay. But you're putting on my brand. He said, yeah, I know. It's okay, boss. And Roosevelt said, drop that iron right now. Go back to the ranch and get out. Why? Because he says, I don't need you anymore. If you're still for me, you're still from me.
Amen.
See, he lost his job. He was out on the street. Why? Because he was trying to sneak one by. Nobody else was looking. Not only did he lose his job, he lost all his money, his paycheck, and he certainly lost his reputation with Mr. Roosevelt. Righteousness steers you to make honest decisions which protect you from painful consequences.
Amen.
It's never right to do wrong. This ought to be Christianity 101, basic and completely understood by all. However, for some reason, it seems to escape most Christians. I don't know if there's even true reality salvation in some people's lives that I deal with. And I'm not talking about anybody in this room, you understand. But just being around some people who say they're saved, and all they're trying to do is see how much they can get away with.
Yep. Amen.
You know what? If you lie to me, you'll lie about me.
Amen.
If you gossip to me about somebody else, you're going to gossip to somebody else about me. If you run down somebody else to me and speak evil of them, you're going to do the same thing about me to somebody else. Because remember, righteousness controls your character.
Amen.
Your conduct and your cause. Righteousness steers you. It guides you. It directs you so that it can protect you.
Amen. Right.
So that it can protect you. I want you to notice verse 21 with me. Though hand... join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Now stop right there. What was the opposite of righteousness? Wickedness. Now I know wicked people don't have, they're not saved. They're unrighteous, they're unjust, they're not saved. But you know in the flesh that you have, you can still live just like them. You can still act just like them.
Yes, sir.
And though hand join in hand, what does that mean? The righteous shall not go unpunished. Have you ever seen Red Rover? Played Red Rover? Red Rover. Send Elena on over. And two or three or four or five or six people join hands in a line. And there's another line on that side over there. And they're singing, Red Rover, Red Rover, send Joshua right over. And so he's over there in that line. And so he lets go and he digs in and starts snorting like a bull. Not that he would ever do that. And he runs towards that other line and he tries to break our hands and break through the line. And if he does, then he just to join our line. He wins. Our object is to hold our hands real tight and don't let it break through. No. Go back to your side. You know what I'm talking about? God says, I don't know if God was thinking about Red Rover when he wrote that verse. I think maybe he was probably thinking of something else. Probably more spiritual. Less childish. But that's what makes my thing. In other words, it doesn't matter how strong you grip. to your wickedness or your unrighteousness. It doesn't matter how strong you hold on to what you think you're going to get away with. The wicked shall not be unpunished. God's going to get through that line and you're going to lose. You're going to lose. But I want you to notice in the next half, most of you probably already read it. You read ahead of me, I know. But here's a sobering thought. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. When you live a righteous life and you let God's righteousness direct you, and He is trying to direct you so He can protect you, but He's also directing you so He can protect your children.
Amen.
Your children.
Right.
Your seed. Those that are coming up behind you. I mean, children learn what they live at home. Children learn what they see you do. Children are going to be righteous if you're righteous. Children are going to be honest if you're honest. Children are going to be liars if you're a liar. And they will not go unpunished if they live an unrighteous life. But if we'll be righteous, our seed even will be protected. Our seed will be delivered.
Amen.
Our seed will be safe.
That's good.
I have been young and now I am old. Be quiet. And I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Amen.
If I can't motivate you to live a righteous life for any other reason, do you love your children? Well, I'm not looking over here. Do you love your future children? I mean, really, seriously. You're going to reap what you're sowing right now.
Amen.
In the lives of your children. You're going to reap it. That's what this verse means. So if I'm sowing seeds of righteousness, if I'm sowing seeds of honesty and upright and integrity and living, I'm going to reap it in the lives of my children. And they too will be protected and delivered. Amen. God is the one who's in control of all this.
Yeah.
Don't we understand? Do you understand where we're going tonight?
Amen.
So righteousness comes by salvation. It begins there, but then it also steers us. It keeps us. It directs us. Makes your decision. Will you please understand? Make your decision based on righteousness. And then it gives you safety, protection. Even your children. Finally, righteousness also, not only does it start at salvation, give you direction, gives you protection, but it also gives you, now notice, reproduction.
Amen.
Look in verse 28 of the same chapter, 11. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed. Notice this next phrase. In the earth. Yes, God rewards you. But in the context of these verses, what he's saying to you and to me is that if we'll live righteous lives, we'll have fruit.
Amen.
We'll be rewarded with souls being saved. Not just our children, not just their being delivered, but other souls that we can be directly responsible for seeing them saved. He that winneth souls, the fruit of the righteous, it is talking about souls. God says righteousness leads to souls being saved.
Amen. Amen.
A righteous life directs you, yes, and protects you, yes, but it also reproduces you. It gives you not just children, but Christian, I should say, spiritual children. Because, listen, only God can reproduce. Only God can save. Only God can recompense. Only God can reward. And He will reward your life with other people getting saved. And dear child of God, as you heard this morning, that is why we are here.
Amen.
Do you really think you're going to live a wicked, unrighteous, ungodly, dishonest, liar's life and be used of God to reach souls for Jesus? You are fooling yourself.
Amen.
What's going to happen is you'll just, if you are even trying, you'll just quit trying. Like most churches in America. They've given up the soul winning program. They've given up the evangelism. They've given up the Great Commission. Why? It don't work anymore. It's probably because you're more worldly than yesterday's world.
Amen.
Whatever that I'm trying to say, you understand. I don't mean to get ugly, but that's a foolish excuse to say it don't work anymore. That's somebody who's not willing to live a righteous life and let God recompense them in this earth.
Amen.
We're not talking about the crowns and the rewards in heaven. We don't get that on this earth. We're talking about the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. A tree of life. What does the tree do? It produces lots of fruit.
Amen.
It's a tree. He that winneth souls, the context here is reproducing yourself, letting God use you so that you can He can reward you with souls here on earth. God will allow you to reproduce yourself. Only God can give increase. Some sow, some water, but God giveth the increase. You know what happens? Sowing, watering. And you just thought, this ain't working. Only God can give the increase. I just read to you not too long ago that God rewards righteousness.
Amen.
God delights in righteousness. God recompenses your life of righteousness on this earth. And there's no greater joy. There shouldn't be for a Christian. No greater joy than seeing some sinner bow their head and humbly call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. Some of you have never experienced that. And I feel sorry for you. There's no greater joy in this world. None! Because there in the midst, in the very presence of that sinner bowing his head and accepting Jesus Christ, there is God performing the greatest miracle on the face of the earth in front of your own eyes.
Amen.
And you've never seen it. This is God's will for all of His children. To live righteously. To be delivered. Directed. Protected. And to reproduce.
Amen.
Do you see where this whole chapter ends up with this? The whole chapter ends with souls.
Amen. Yes, sir.
The main objective, the main objective, the finish line of your life should be God. Give me souls. God, use me so that other people can be saved.
Amen.
I mean, what is your objective in life? What is your objective in life? If you're righteous and living a righteous life, you will have a desire that's righteous and only good. And it will be the same desire that God has. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit.
Amen.
Rachel's womb was barren, Jacob's wife. And she cried out to God and she said, "Dear God, give me a child or else I die." Hannah's womb was barren. And she cried out to God day and night and wept and fasted and wept and prayed. And said, "Oh God, give me a child or I'm going to die. My life is worthless. My life is not of any value. God, give me a child lest I die." Because that was the Jewish ladies understood, that is my primary reason. God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." And the DeVitos are on their way.
Amen.
Praise the God. Where do we get this idea that we should have really small families? We're Christians.
Yeah,
and if we can bring more Christian babies into this world and grow them up in church, and they'll be saved and they'll be living for God, we'll train them the way that should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. You know what? You know how the Muslims are taking over? They're having 10 and 12 children.
Yeah,
and Christians are too worried about making money.
Yeah, amen. Yes, sir.
That was parentheses. But really, if you can't have any more children or you're not married, you can have spiritual fruit.
Amen.
And you should desire it. It should break your heart. Salvation, steering, safety, and souls.
Amen.
All through righteousness. I told Miss Fogg, I said, "We need to go adopt a boatload of children. They only cost about $4,000 each. God's got all the silver and all the gold. It's all His." Sometimes I think I'm crazy. And then I wake up and I realize, But really, I'm just saying, I want to see more children given the opportunity to know a life of righteousness.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
I think about the families that have come through here with children and how the parents are so selfish. And they take their kids right on back into the world. Living in destitute spiritual poverty.
Yes, sir.
Living completely out of the will of God, completely away from righteousness. I can't control them. No, I can't. But I sure can preach to you that are here now.
Amen. Amen.
Your life is not your own.
Amen.
There are people that are depending on you to be righteous.
Amen.
God. God, help us. As you study topics in the Bible, such as righteousness, one good Bible study method is to find the first mention of the topic you're studying. And in this case, the first mention of the word righteous is in Genesis chapter 7. Go back there with me, please. And I'm finished with this thought. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. The first mention helps you see a lot about the topic or the word that you're studying. And in the Bible, verse 1 of chapter 7 of Genesis, the Lord said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Noah lived in a generation that was so wicked, God wiped it off of the earth with a flood. Listen to me, church. God hasn't done that to our generation. Noah's generation, every thought, look in chapter 6, verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You think you got it bad? There were no churches in Noah's day. There was no preaching in Noah's day. There was no Bible in Noah's day. There was no indwelling Holy Spirit in Noah's day. This was an unbelievably, continually evil generation. And in the midst of that, God said, "Noah, I've seen you righteous before me in this generation." Notice God said, "I've seen you righteous before me." In other words, it was righteousness that God saw. It was righteousness that God had seen in him. It was righteousness that directed him. Such degree that God saw it. It was righteousness that protected him, for it was him and his seed that were in that ark. It was Noah and his seed. That righteousness directed Noah to be righteous before God in the middle of the generation that was the most wicked so far in all time, of all time. And the righteousness, Noah's just living an upright, honest, integritous life. God saw that and God said, "I'm going to choose you. I'm going to use you and I'm going to protect you because I'm going to bring a flood upon this whole earth and wipe it out." It directed Noah to live righteously where God saw in the middle. Hey, listen. In the middle of much more wickedness than there is in Denton. God saw and said, "I'm going to reward you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to protect you from my judgment, my flood, my wrath." His whole family went into that ark. And there was no other living soul left. But wait a minute. The story doesn't end there. You and me, we're all descendants of Noah.
Amen.
Everybody else died. What am I saying? I'm saying every single person that is alive and saved today is because Noah was righteous.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
You never saw that, did you? Who is saved today? Because of your righteousness. Who is being delivered today because of your righteousness? Who's being protected today, directed today because of your righteousness? And don't miss the fact God said, Noah, I've seen your righteousness.
Amen.
God knows. Somebody's depending on you to be righteous. Father in heaven, I pray that you would help us tonight. Lord, this old world, I'm so tired of, yes, the wickedness. But God, it's not more wicked than Noah's day. And God, the Bible tells us Noah found grace in your sight. I believe, Father, that means you saved him. You gave him your righteousness. Father, help us to live righteous lives. Help us to scorn and disdain and hate evil. Oh God, would you please purge the unrighteousness in our lives? The wickedness, the evil, the dishonesty, the lying, cheating, the distortion, the twisting. God, please. I want you to use me for my children, for this church, for souls in this city, so that this city could be exalted. Oh God, please cleanse our hearts. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your righteousness given to us because of Him. God, please make your people more righteous. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altars are open.